of Light Spiritual Chat Show. My name is Alice Trevorrow. I'm a spiritual medium and psychic and producer of the show. And tonight we have our lovely co-host, Judith Miller, with us, who's also a spiritual medium. Hi, Judith, how are you doing?
I'm just sharing our chat to Facebook. In case you wonder what I'm doing.
Okay, so we're waiting at the moment for our guest, Albert Olson from Canada. I will leave you for a little minute there, Judith, because I've just got a text from him. So I'm just going to read the text, okay? And I'll leave that with you to just have a chat with the people, the listeners.
Yes, let's see who's here.
Okay.
So, guys, we can have a spiritual chat as we're waiting for our guests to come. And if you have any questions, do you know what? I'm going to throw something over to you tonight, and you are going to go, really? But trust me, bear with me, because Spirit knows best. And a while ago, Spirit said to me, away last year, the moon does not exist. And I thought I'd taken that message wrong. And I'm sure you'll all understand. I thought I took the message wrong. But no, I hadn't. I hadn't taken the message wrong. And Spirit explained to me in time that within the quantum field, we create our own reality. And in our minds, the moon exists because of all the pictures we've seen, all the information that we have been feeding our subconscious. So because it exists in our mind, it exists in our reality. So now, guys, and this is something that I'd be putting out on Prophetic News. So I wanted to give you a little toucher of this. Last night, Spirit gave me another tip. And they said to me, the three kings / wise men that went to travel to watch Jesus from the east with the frankincense and myrrh, they're not men, they're not people. It's the three stars connected to Orion's belt. And at first I thought, that is so strange. Is this real? Is this true? Has Judith got this right again? So at 4:30 this morning, couldn't sleep, I got onto the internet and I was like, does anybody else have even thought of this? And lo and behold, there is theories that the three wise men or three kings were Orion's belt is also three kings. So Spirit always say to me, the star system and the structures of the constellation are not what you think. It's all an illusion, and it's not just so much more. They said this constellations is a roadmap. And I talked about this in Prophetic News in episode 1. Lo and behold, a friend of mine sent me a very short video clip of a young 15-year-old boy who's been able to use the star constellations to find ancient Mayan temples and villages that have only been just discovered. Wow. Doing so by the star constellations. He used them like a roadmap. So I now understand that's what Spirit meant when they talked about the constellations and the star structures. So, but I also want to say, they're talking about the three kings and the three men and about Orion's belt. So there's a lot to our solar system and our star structures that we don't understand. But Spirit are very much trying to teach me. I'm being a good student and I'm listening, so I am. So, hi, Lashlyn, how are you? You read that story, isn't that? Well, I only found that out yesterday, but, early hours of this morning. I've been writing about that for months and months. And about the star structures and about the constellations and about how our solar system is much more than what we realise and how it is a roadmap. And I did talk about that in episode 1. And then, lo and behold, it's been validated. And the young boy, they've been able to dig for the Mayan temples now that have never been discovered before.
Our guest has arrived, Judith. I'm sorry to... My guest has arrived.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that.
We'll come back to that. I'm so excited. We have Albert Olson, who is a psychic medium, and also he is an author as well. Now Albert is retired now, but he was a school teacher for over 30 years as well. And this tonight is actually really exciting, you know, because I'm interested in finding out a lot more about Albert's history and the new oracle cards as well that he's actually going to tell us all about. So let's get Albert Olson onto the show. So Albert, here we go, my darling. Welcome.
Hi.
Good to be here.
Hi. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry about that. You know, I was sitting here for half an hour waiting to get in, and on my computer screen it didn't show the whole screen. So the part where you click and join, I couldn't see that. So
that's all right. You're here now. That's the main thing. You're here now. Well, you know, I have been reading your bio that you sent over, and it is very interesting, you know, because you were a teacher for many, many years, you know, and I know you now teach mediumship as well. But where did it begin? Did it begin when you were doing your teaching, or was this something that started as a child, Albert?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. So looking back on it, I realize now that I've always sort of been intuitive and that I was an extremely sensitive boy. But, you know, when you're looking it through your own perspective, you don't realize that not everybody's like you, so you don't pick up on it. But in fact, I would say it's been about 8 to 10 years ago now when things really started to unfold for me or to develop. And so at the time, I had just finished my registered clinical hypnotherapist training, and I was working at a private school. And so I was doing counseling and sports psychology and a bunch of different things for the school. And we had a Pro D opportunity. So I put in my proposal. I said I really wanted to do some past life regression therapy training because I thought that would be really useful. And one of the books I came across was Michael Newton's Journey of Souls. And it was very interesting because, you know, I don't know if you know that story or not, but basically it's a psychiatrist who started using past life regressions. And one of the very first times he used it, he was with a patient, and they had just sort of finished the death of a past life. And he got called away for a second. And then when he came back in the room, he forgot where he had been. And he said, and then what happened? And then the patient went on to describe this transition to the afterlife and everything that happened to them. And so he started to incorporate it into all of his readings. And after 1,000 or 10,000 readings, he was noticing these similarities in terms of the stories that he was getting, and also how similar it was to other things he'd been reading about near-death experiences. Well, for me, I guess I would have to say at that point in my life, I really wasn't sure of an afterlife. I was very much a skeptic at the time. But once I started to read that book, it became very clear to me that there was an afterlife. And very shortly after that, then once I'd sort of got to that realization, then suddenly, you know, the mediumship and I didn't know what it was at first, but everything started happening in a hurry. And so that's sort of how I got started, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I know now that you do teaching as well, and you know, you've came a long way, you know, since the start of that. Do you find that you enjoy the teaching more than maybe the demonstrating, or do you like both?
Oh, I like them both, because I think is really the similarity between the two is that you're helping people. That's right. In the one case, you're helping people through connecting to the spirits. But on the other hand, you're helping, you know, others on their own journey to become mediums and that sort of thing. And I like to think that by doing that, you're actually impacting a lot more people in the long run because they're passing on their gifts and helping others as well.
Yeah.
So I like them both, but I guess, you know, I really do enjoy teaching the most. But for me, in both of those situations, it has to be something new. So I'm what you would call someone who experiments all the time. If I start or to teach the same medium, basic mediumship over and over, I'd get bored very quickly. And then I don't think I'd be a very good teacher. But I think one of my strengths is that I got to the point where I'm willing to try a whole bunch of different things. So,
Albert, do you find when with teaching and helping others, although you're helping nurture their abilities and their confidence, we still learn from our students?
Oh, well, so absolutely.
Constantly learning.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think that's the really exciting part of this journey is that if you get static, that you've probably lost it and you need to take a break. But I think you're absolutely right. You're constantly learning all the time. And, you know, it's funny how you just never know where spirit's going to take you. And you think you sort of have a plan, but then suddenly they direct you in some other direction and you're off on a different tangent altogether. And that's it's really exciting for me.
That is so true, Albert, because I would never have believed I would ever be doing this.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a spiritual medium and psychic as well as Judith is, and I would never ever have believed I would be doing this or even doing all the editing and I've done all the sound, the music, I've done all of the artistic side of things. If somebody had told me I was going to do that about 10 years ago, I would have laughed and says, oh, that's the wrong person you're talking about, you know.
You know, I think the best about it is having the faith to follow it. You know, I never knew I was going to go down the physical mediumship side of things, but Spirit put me on the spot live. And they always, every time they put me on the spot, when I'm live. I'm winging it at the start. When I do something new, I have to say, I always say to everybody, bear with me, because like this is the first time for this.
Yeah.
But I just trust. I know that if they say you can do this, then I know I can do it. And as you say, those directions, you just go with them, Albert, don't you?
Well, I totally agree. I couldn't agree more. I think that that's one thing that really comes through in the training with most beginners. They often are in this constant battle between their logical mind saying that they can't do what they're supposed to be doing and what their intuition is telling them they can do. And so you do, I think, especially when you get on the platform and you're in front of an audience, you really do have to trust because, you know, I've seen mediums before, they get on there and they've pre-canned it, like they've already done a reading and they're basically just telling you what they've already done it. And you can tell by the fact that they're talking in the past tense, you know, I did this, I had that or whatever. But to actually trust the fact that you're going to get up there and that it's going to come through and it's going to work, I think that's when you start to become, you know, more advanced or a master medium, when you can get to that point. And it's not easy. Some people never get there, but others, it's just natural. So it's hard to know.
It's all spirit-led. Yeah,
but you know, when you're doing it like live and you're doing it genuinely, every single reading is different, and like every object that's moved is different, every message that comes through, every emotion, you know, like every memory, you know, and to pre-plan that, it's just you're working. You've worked with spirit, but you're not working with spirit. You know, it should be always two in one. To me, it should always be two in one. What do you say, Alice?
I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, actually having been an instructor or a medium at this level, it kind of ruined some of the spiritualist church services for me because...
Why is that?
You'll just see people doing the readings, but it becomes obvious to you that, okay, well, that's a psychic reading. They're actually doing a psychic reading of that person. Yeah. And actually, I'm okay with that. Like if it leads to mediumship and it leads to healing... Oh, that's great. I'm not saying you have to do it one way. I think the only right way to do mediumship is what works for you. So if it works for them, that's great. But it rather, you know, I guess when I first started going to spiritualist churches, I was so awed by the fact that you were getting messages and the uplifting part of it. But now I see it through an instructor's eyes. It's hard. It kind of takes a bit of the shine off, you know, unless you run into somebody that's so amazing.
You're defining the difference now. You're saying that it's like chalk and cheese is what I want to say. I'm laughing because we were talking
about that word coming out again, Judith.
I do a lot of spirit writing, and I've been writing lately, chalk and cheese. And I was only saying to Alice something earlier, and I said to her, that's chalk and cheese. Pink, that's what they mean. I've got it. That's what they mean. So, yeah, very chalk and cheese. And they're both very different ways when you understand the workings of spirit, aren't they?
I totally agree. I think that if my Arthur Finley instructors or tutors would see me work now, they'd probably roll over and in their grave if they're dead, and if they're alive, they'd disavow me, because what I do now is certainly not traditional, and it's certainly not anything that would be recognized. And I know in the UK you have different laws and things that sort of prevent you from doing certain things, but.
No, I work completely different than we both work, actually. Alice works very different and follows her team. And she does her own style, don't you, Alice? And I very different. Spirit trains me in my physical. So I'm very different. And I was told I wouldn't fit into the Arthur Finley College because I was so different. So we're both very much into that new style, like you're explaining. Yeah.
I really believe that we're on the verge of a new dawn of mediumship, if you like. Like the very sort of 19th century traditional mediumship doesn't actually work for everybody these days. Some people it does, and that's great. But for others, you know, you're starting to see amazing developments with music and art and pottery and like all kinds of different things that you would never have considered as mediumship in the past. Yeah. But for me, you know, it really is like, okay, does it actually help somebody? And if it does, then it's okay in my book. Like if you're really making a difference in helping someone, however spirit wants to work through you, that's the way you should do it.
That's it, yeah. And they're teaching the physical. The spirit are teaching the physical. They taught me to do the physical like this, just like me and you chat now. And so I do the evidential as well as physical, but like this, I don't go into trance and I do it in the light. So spirit are very much teaching to work in the light. So they want everyone to say that they can do so much more. You know, they're not restricted. We've evolved to such a level. And I think it's nice that you can go outside the box. I think when we're inside the box, we're restricting ourselves and we're restricting our spirit team.
I think the key word there is respect, you know. So if we're respecting spirit and we're respecting the wishes and we're respecting the people that we're working for, and it's coming from a place of wanting to help, then I don't think you can go too far wrong, honestly.
So for example, if I was to say to you, in what way have you changed your style from what you would have been in Flip Development Circus at the beginning to what you find is more outside the box now, what would you say to that, Albert?
Well, I would say it differs for every specific person or situation that you're in. Like recently, I was with my former circle, and we were doing a reading for an Indigenous band nearby. And the first couple of people, my minister and my mentor, were all sort of leading off, and I realized I'm sitting there and I'm up third and I'm thinking, this is not a traditional setting. This is not going to work. And it's like spirit talks to you. It's like, try this or do that. And so for me, I guess it's sort of, I'll set my intention before I begin to work. I'll often do an opening prayer or something that kind of opens me up to the spirit world. And then I feel that pretty much after that, any sort of input I get, whether it's visual or in my mind or I hear words or whatever, that's coming from spirit. So once I got to the point where I accepted that, then you get up, like you're saying, and you trust spirit. And then you hear them use your cards, for example. Well, I'm thinking, well, they would die if you used cards in Arthur Finley when you were doing readings. But in that particular case, I actually used my oracle deck, the Science from Spirit one, and it was amazing. I pulled a card, it was a fox, and so the whole reading started off, does a fox mean anything to anyone here in particular? Like, does someone know someone in spirit that can relate to a fox? And then I'm always thinking in my mind, my logical mind, well, this is ridiculous. No one's ever going to raise their hand for this. And then you're surprised because there's 6 or 10 people with their hands up. And then you just sort of go from there. Like I feel connected to someone. You go to them and they go, well, my grandfather was called the Silver Fox. Well, okay, there we go. So now we're off and running. And then I guess after that, it gets to be kind of more of a traditional kind of reading. But it was just a way to get in and a way to connect with people that weren't familiar with mediumship, you know?
Yeah. Just to touch on that a little bit, I know the oracle cards are called Heavenly Whispers. Is that correct?
Well, maybe. So initially it was called Signs from Spirit. So the idea, like in my practice, I was doing a lot of sort of spirit fairs for our churches and different things. And I was doing a fair amount of psychic reading. Although now psychic reading and mediumship, there's kind of blended for me. I don't know where one starts and another one ends, because if I start with cards for somebody and it's a psychic reading, pretty soon I have people on the other side throwing their 2 cents in there, wanting to say something to them as well. So it's obviously transitioned.
The energy difference, isn't it? It's the energy difference as well. You feel your energy dip down when you're going psychic, and you feel it really raise, you know, when you're working with spirit world, you know. So
You'll have some pushy spirits that won't even let you finish your psychic reading before they want you. And tell you what you're supposed to say, you know, it's like, oh boy, here we go.
Very much who they were, aren't they, on the earthly plane still, as in that personality.
Yeah. So anyways, I was finding that, like, when I was doing a lot of these readings, it seemed to me that a lot of people were really looking for some validation that their loved ones were still with them. And so I came across the idea of using signs. So, like, you know, when I talked to other people about it, it was like, well, how do you know for sure? Like, well, often signs are a good way. So I did a survey online of all the different groups I'm in and came up with sort of a list of all the various signs that people have received. And then I took sort of the top 78 and made them into a deck. And then, so I called that Signs from Spirit. But then I spent 5 or 6 years trying to find an illustrator to do the artwork, because I'm a stick drawer at best. If you play Pictionary with me, it's very basic. And then I woke up one morning and Spirit said, well, do it yourself. And I just laughed at them. I was like, you got to be kidding. Like, have you seen me draw? Like, I can't draw.
I can't draw either.
And then
I used to not be able to draw, but all of a sudden I can draw.
Yeah.
That's honest truth. All of a sudden I can draw.
So anyways, I said I couldn't draw. And the message came back, find another way. And it's like, oh God, here we go. Okay. And so then, well, okay, let's use pictures is what I was thinking. And so I went to this site called Pexels, where all these wonderful artists or photographers from around the world share their pictures royalty free. So I thought, well, this will be interesting. So I'll start searching for some of these signs and see what you can come up with. Well, the animals are easy, right? So, for example, here's a swan. That's one of the top 78. So there was lots of pictures of swans. And so I could make a deck easy of pictures. But I didn't feel that way.
If that appeared to you, Albert, what would you take from that card? Can you describe that card, what stands out, what, you know?
Sure. So I would say to somebody, okay, listen, sometime in the, let's say I just done a reading for them or whatever, and I'd say, listen, let's see if we can get Spirit to validate this for us by showing you a sign sometime very soon, maybe in the next week or so. So I want you to be on a lookout for a swan. Now, that swan might be a real swan. It might be a picture of a swan. It might be a swan on a commercial. It might be a song about a swan. It might be a dream about a swan. But somehow, you're going to have an encounter with a swan. It's going to make you sit up and take notice and go, wow, that was weird or strange or whatever. And when that happens, then you'll know that that's your guide or your person. Or now it could be an angel. It could be a spirit guide. It could be an animal in spirit. It could be their father in spirit. I don't know, whatever kind of message we were getting. That's them saying, yeah, that's right. I'm here. I'm okay. That life goes on and that message was true. And so I've been using it sort of as a validation, I guess. What I did find, also, there's another way to use this card, is a lot of people will get signs, but they don't notice them. They don't know what to look for, right? So you might have, they'll tell you something, they'll go, well, gee, it seems to me that's a sign, but they were unable to pick up on it.
Yeah.
So in a way, this deck allows people to initiate that contact. So it's almost like you're making a contract with spirit. I'm going to look for a swan. Please send me a swan. And now they know specifically what to look for. And then I'll get this back. Geez, I've got nothing but swans in my life this whole week. I got a swan, a real one staring at me. I had the, you know, blah, 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 whatever. It goes on and on. And I can't tell you, like, I was surprised how amazingly that is. Like, you know, I don't know why I'm still amazed at this point, anything that spirit does, but it still shocks me so much that it comes through as a validation.
But do you know, when I look at that too, I keep getting beauty within, beauty within. And isn't it amazing that you can use your cards like that as for signs? So, you know, there's nothing more stronger than validation for you to, like, say I have been the person you get that reading to and get that swan, and all of a sudden I was seeing swans. Like, that must bring amazing comfort to the people.
Well, it is. So then you start playing with it, right? So then for sometimes you'll get like, okay, you know, often you'll get somebody asking for a psychic reading, you know, will I meet my true love in the next year or something like that. So they really want some fortune telling on your part. And it's like, well, you know, let's pull a card and see here. So if you are, then you're going to see a swan sometime. This will be your guardian angel telling you to be on the lookout that that's probably going to happen. So you can use it sort of as a way to confirm messages, yes or no, as well. The beautiful thing about this deck, though, like, to finish the story, was I had these wonderful pictures, but I still didn't feel like an oracle deck to me. It felt like a bunch of pictures. And then my niece came to see me, and she said, hey, uncle, check this out. I'm going to take your picture and make you into a Picasso painting. Okay, great. So she took my picture on her phone, and she ran it through this little app, and then suddenly I was, you know, all distorted like the Picasso painting. And I it's like spirit just sort of jumped up and hit me in the back of the head. It's like, there you go. So then you take the photo, you run it through. I use an app called Artisto. And then you have several different filters that you can pick in terms of how you want that art to look like. So it's hard on the screen, but it actually kind of looks like a picture on a whole lot of things, but it's actually a piece of artwork. So it's kind of, I don't know if I can get it close enough, but you can actually see
it. Yeah, I can see. Probably a picture of a swan.
I can see an eye. When you lifted that up, there was an eye. I could see that, an eye on the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, So it's interesting, right? So, like, animals are easy. Like, I think I could do a spirit animal deck pretty easily this way. But then you'll have, like, a flickering light, right? So people often see signs where lights are flickering. So when you draw this particular one, we're looking for a flickering light. Or you might have one like orbs, for example.
Yeah. Or you might have one. That you're showing just now, Albert? Is this Is this your oracle card pack then you're showing at the moment?
Yeah, this is my deck that I created.
Have you just put any blocks for the cover?
Sorry, it's just if anybody's listening on the podcast, you know, it's just to let them know that you're showing the Oracle card pack at the moment, you know, with all the pictures, because they won't be able to see what we are seeing, you know. So where would they get this? Where would they be able to purchase the Oracle? Well,
if you wanted this particular, I call this like version 1.0, the first draft of the whole thing. You could get it. So that was the next question, is how do I produce it, you know?
Yeah.
And so the only way I could do it was to go to an online company that actually does sort of novelty playing cards. So like, if you wanted to buy someone a birthday deck with your picture on it or something, you could do like that. But in the end, they have an option there for tarot. So I was able to make it. So if someone really wants this, you would just go to makeplayingcards.com and just search for my name, Albert Olson, or Signs from Spirit. And it comes up, and I tried to keep it, you know, moderately priced, because the beauty of that is if you're trying to do your own oracle deck, like, you're kind of faced with this dilemma. Do I publish 1,000 of them and hope to sell them all? Because that, you have to have an outlay of money to do that. On this hand, they'll wait and print it for you on a one-off. So yeah, I've only had a few sales. I really haven't been promoting it. But do people do ask? And I say, well, you could get a copy of this particular deck by going there. But lately I've been on this journey where I've been trying to get it published through Hay House. And so that's another whole journey that Spirit sent me off on. It's been extremely time consuming. So
it's order to get it published, doesn't it? That's the getting it published.
Well, it's very difficult, very difficult to get published by a traditional publishing house because, first of all, they probably won't even read a proposal if you sent one in unless you have an agent. So now you have an agent, then that costs money. And if you want this and you want that. But through Hay House, they have a couple of programs. One's called a writing workshop and the other's called authorpreneurship. Yeah. And it costs money to join those clubs, but they're well worth it. And in the end, you get two or three shots at entering one of their contests.
They do a poetry one as well, a poetry competition. They do like a workshop for poetry as well.
Yeah. So yeah. I just submitted this particular deck. It's now called Messages from Heaven. So it was Signs from Spirit, then it was Whispers from Heaven or whatever.
All right.
Talked to Messages from Heaven because I felt like having talked to a lot of people and agents and that sort of thing, it became clear that the focus on the market here really was initially these were just signs from people in spirit. But now you really, after having played with it a bit, you realize it could be an angel message or a spirit guide message or whatever. So we switched it to Messages from Heaven.
Yeah. Lovely. That's fine. I just wondered, because if anybody was interested, because I was looking at your bio and I know you'd said you had two different oracle card decks, one Signs from Spirit World and the other one was the Messages from Spirit World. So I take it it's all combined into one now then. Is that correct?
Well, I think when I sent you my bio and info, that was the plan. When I entered this contest, that the way to make it unique was to make it sort of two decks in one.
Yes.
And the idea is that you would draw a sign, and then later on, once you saw the sign, you could draw a message.
Yeah.
And this really is based upon the idea of James von Prague's deck called Talking to Heaven. Yeah. It looks like this.
Yeah.
Now, this shocked me. I started using it in all my psychic readings. So again, here we go off on some other weird tangent. But so oftentimes I would be in a place where you have an hour or an hour and a half to give readings and you give maybe 6 to 10 readings, but you have an audience of 20 or 30 people. And I always felt particularly bad for those that came and never got a message because you ran out of time. So I started taking to saying at the end of the thing, okay, if you haven't got a message or even if you have, I want you to, close your eyes, take some deep breaths and think of who you'd like a message from. And then I would just go around and hand out a card to everybody from this deck. And most amazing things.
So,
the message really is something like this. Believe in yourself. You can do it. Or what's this one say? My mind is free. Anyways, there's several of these sort of short things.
I do like those cards. So I work with them quite a lot.
They're beautiful. Yeah. But thing that was humbling for me was, let's say you do a really wonderful evening of mediumship and you think, oh, wow, geez, that went pretty well. And then you hand out this deck and suddenly everybody's crying. And it's like, so the card that they got from the people suddenly was very intense for them. And it was always amazing how it seemed to tie in with exactly their needs. Now, even people that I had been giving readings to, I would get them to draw a card at the end of the reading. And then it was always interesting as a medium because not only did they get this message, but I did too as a medium, right? And sometimes it would clarify some of the evidence that I was giving, like I wasn't quite clear on something. And suddenly the card would point me in a slightly different direction or allow me to enhance the message part of my reading.
So this card actually says, can I read that again?
What did that one say? It said,
my death
was painless. Please don't worry or hold on to guilt.
Yeah.
Well, if if I'd just given a big message about, live in the moment, be happy, I'm still here, that sort of thing, then I might have not picked up on the guilt part, let's say. But having looked at the card, my eyes get drawn to that word, then it's like, oh, well, that spirit telling me that I need to expand on that a bit. And then suddenly you can, expand on your message. And I just found it really, truly amazing. For me, it seemed to work particularly well with people. So you're dealing with someone that had died, let's say a son, and you got this message. But it hasn't really come out in the reading that it was a suicide, right? But often the card will give me the tip that I'm missing something here, that I need to add in that part. Now, depending on the situation, I might say, well, I have something else to add to this. I may not want to talk about suicide in front of the whole group, but come and see me later. I got something else to tell you or to add on here. And then I might do that privately. Or sometimes if they bring it up, you know, oh yeah, this is obviously, you know, I'm not supposed to feel guilty about their suicide. It's like, okay, well, you brought it up. So now I'll tell you what I'm sensing about it. And then we can go on. And it sort of leads to a more fulfilling, complete message, if you like. So anyways, that was his deck, and that was doing great. So then I thought, well, I'd do my deck. The problem, it's not a problem, really, and it's just me. I found that this deck is, there's only 44 cards. So, like, if it was your own personal deck, you go through the messages pretty quickly, and in the end, you see them all. Although, it's interesting how some of them keep showing up time after time. Like, when my wife first used this deck, the first 5 days she drew, it was the same message, and it's like, finally, she's going... Okay, I get it. I thought, well, it would be kind of cool if you tied them signs to a message. And so I was looking for something a little longer in terms of a more meaningful one. So this one says, I'm with you in every breath you take, in every beam of sunlight that warms your skin, and in every gentle breeze that touches your face. And then it seemed to me like every card, I love you, was the most important message of the whole thing. So I put that on every card.
That's lovely. And it's a lovely card.
It is. It's beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, so really that was that idea. But then when I pitched that to Reed Tracy, the head of Hay House, he said, no, don't do two decks at once. That's ridiculous. If you get picked and published one, then we'll consider doing the other one. But the cost of printing two decks and how much I would put the shelf sticker price on it would be incredible. Other thing I'd like to say about traditional publishing, so I'm sure there's people out there who have, I self-published a book, and that was great. It was, you know, the purpose was, I felt at some point people
might have hard.
It's not that hard. It was during COVID, so I had a lot of time. But it took me about 3 or 4 months to write and publish that particular book. But then it felt like it was just flowing from spirit anyways, you know. So, but to get it traditionally published, whether it's a book or whether it's a card deck, you have to understand that it's a different playing field. So the things they're going to consider are, first of all, how original your idea is. But secondly, when you make a proposal, it's really a business plan you're submitting. You're not selling them on your idea of the cards. That's just a small part of it. And one of the things that most traditional publishers are going to look at is how big your following is on social media. So they'll say, you know, for us, we are looking for 60 to 80,000 followers on your social media platforms, because they want to hedge their bet, basically. They want to know that if you're going to be able to sell your share of the book, that they actually publish it for you through your own contacts. I found that discouraging at first, because first of all, I'm, 65 now, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know how many years it's going to take me to get 80,000 followers, but it's not going to be anytime soon, likely.
That's
a lot, yeah.
Well, we've done. Yeah. Then you will on TikTok. You will get that number on TikTok.
Yep.
Absolutely, you will.
I have to make the jump.
Yeah.
Everybody's making the jump, but on TikTok you do get a far, because you're reaching to so many people worldwide. You are getting a far bigger audience, and like, yes, if you're doing a live, it is far faster and far bigger. But that's why you're going to, you know, why you're going to the bigger platforms. So, yeah. What about Clapper? Do you get Clapper?
Sorry, what?
The platform Clapper.
Oh, I don't know that.
It's an American one.
Yeah, I see.
Well, I you know, in the end, there's lots of solutions to doing this, but it always seemed to me that it was an outlay of money that needed to be happening in the first place.
It is, yeah.
And so it was, you know, I don't know. I was always thinking, well, if this is really meant to be, it'll get figured out some way without me having to spend tens of thousands of dollars to get it published, because what's the chances of recouping that investment anyway? So I mean, it's not really mediumship I'm talking about, but I just, it's the one thing that shocked me when I was sort of going down this road. And I just, if there's people out there, then please be aware of that. That's a, it's a different game that you're playing when you're looking at traditional publishing. That's why a lot of people, a lot of my contacts have just, you know, just self-published. First of all, you get a greater percent of the sales. It's just that you probably don't get as much exposure, I guess, in terms of who's buying it.
Yeah.
Not really about making money for me anyways. It really was just sort of an idea that this would be great to help people. And somewhere the line, my grandkids might want to know who their weird grandfather was and what the story behind his gifts were. So I thought, oh, I should write it down, you know.
I document everything, you know, because I always say, Spirit always says to me to write a book, and I always say, so where am I going to start? You know, and I know they've given me the title, and I know the title they want me to do. But when I think about it, the information that I've written down for all those years is your book. Mm-hmm. It's putting it all together. But I think if you've never done that before, it is daunting. But then how do we grow without going out of that comfort zone to find that out? And it's really good that you have that book. Would you write another one?
Well, honestly, I might, if that's what Spirit wants me to do. I would probably revise that book. In hindsight, having been down this publishing road, I realized that it's... I find it, you know, the reviews are great and people seem to like it, and it feels like an original voice, I guess, but it's not actually laid out logically or whatever. And I think I might include a little more, let's say, exercise for people to practice with. It's less of a autobiographical sort of narrative and more of a teaching book.
Yeah. Can I just touch on... I know you'd said during COVID you created an online Franciscan Spiritualist Church and podcast where you are the founder and the host of that. So how is that going? How is that all going for you?
Well, it's gone the way of the dodo bird at this point, because I think, you know, sort of towards the end of COVID, most people are going back to their physical churches and going back to those sort of things. Yeah. So there was still a need for it, though, because there are lots of people who live in small communities that don't have a spiritualist church within 1,000 miles of them. So it was an opportunity for them to meet like-minded people. I when you were talking about, you know, you never thought Spirit would have you doing it, I felt exactly the same way. It was like a incredible learning experience to actually make a product that was appealing and professional looking, and yet sort of stayed true. And so my mentor is a spiritualist minister. His name is Malcolm Gloucester. So he was, you know, really upset that the churches were closing down. And I said, well, why don't we just do our own church, you know? Like, and then he just sort of laughed at me. So I said, well, no, we could do it, right? You're a minister, and I probably got enough skills to get us started. And it just sort of, it blossomed. And so then once you start recording it, then how do you deal with it? Well, the music was the biggest problem for us in our spiritualist church, because I couldn't really live stream on Facebook, YouTube, because then there's copyright infringement in terms of the songs and that sort of thing. So for me, the songs were most important. So we ended up doing an audio podcast of it. And I think we went for 2 years. So after the second anniversary, we sort of stopped. Just because, you know, I think we'd sort of reached our point. Now, another wonderful lady took it on for another year after that. But when Malcolm and I sort of sat down and thought about the church, you're faced with a million decisions. And suddenly I have new respect for, you know, all the different spiritualist leaders over the years who had to come up with the philosophy of it. It's like, are we going to adopt somebody else's seven principles? Or are we going to come up with our own or whatever? And we both sort of agreed that, as strange as it seems, that we would choose the name of our church as the Franciscan Spiritualist Church. Now, immediately people think that's a Catholic affiliation. It's not. It was, you know, it was non-denominational. But we really liked the idea of service, right? Service, you know, before self. And that was sort of the whole theme behind the whole thing. And then we're really lucky. We had a lot of sort of Arthur Finley tutors would come as special guests on a week. So we would rotate who was hosting and who was giving the sermon. And, you know, people were allowed to pick songs. And I really wanted to be as inclusive as possible. Now, some people were keen to help and others weren't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in the end, we probably had 5,000 downloads, I guess, of our church services for 2 years, which was, we were happy with that.
There's a lot of churches have stayed online, isn't there? There's a lot of, since COVID, there's a lot of churches now do their service online and they prefer that. And then there's other ones where they prefer, you know, they miss that in person and, you know, that connection.
Yeah, I think if I was running a church, I would do both. Like, I think you could have a in-person Sunday service and then probably like a Wednesday night online, even if it's, you know, I don't know what that would look like. But because you're serving two different needs there as your church. If your goal in your church is to help people, well, you do need to have the physical face-to-face support. A lot of people need that. But then our greater audience was from all over the world that didn't have access to any sort of spiritual church. And so at least they had a place, if they couldn't attend the service, they could listen to the podcast later. And, you know, we even put the mediumship on there as well on the podcast, because we found that when we were doing mediumship, let's say online live on a Sunday morning, oftentimes we'd have really lovely mediumship, but we'd have no takers. We might have an audience of say 30 people watching live. And we realized quite suddenly, like at first we were disappointed, thinking, well, gee, that's really poor mediumship. But then after a while, we started getting feedback from our online listeners. No, that was actually for me, and I heard it on your podcast, and it would come back. So then we sort of had to adapt how we were doing mediumship on the online service so that when we gave evidence, if we didn't have an immediate taker, or even if we did, we would still say, well, it could still apply to you, right? Spirit works in miraculous ways. And if you don't have a taker, we're going to have, someone's going to take it at some point. Well, please let us know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so it was quite an interesting journey.
Yeah, it is. It's hard as well. It's hard. I mean, I was doing both. I had my own spiritual center here and I was doing online. But it does take a lot out of you as well, because you don't always get the support and backup, you know, so you're doing a lot of it on your own. And you've also got, you've got halls to cover, you've got fees to cover. And, you know, and if you've only got maybe 10 or 15 people turning up on a night, you know, and then maybe one other night, you've got maybe 30 or 40 or whatever, it's up and down. It's up and down because you've still got, you know, your fees, you've got your fees, your expenditure as well. I did do it for 6 years I did it for, and I've only just recently stopped my center because I'm planning on new changes, new things changing around me just now. But I will be starting my online spiritual center. I'll be restarting that again. And I think, like you, I think it's important because there's a lot of people as well who have illnesses or disability who cannot go out, travel costs, could be money as well, that they can't financially afford to actually travel to go to the church or the centre. So I think it's important that there is a balance, you know, that you have got your church or your centre, but you've also got online as well. And then nobody is missing out on that spiritual communication and that love that you get on the night, you know, from the medium, whoever is on, sharing spirit's messages.
Good for you. Like, 6 years is incredible service. I know how hard that is. Like, it reminded me sort of a school teaching in a way, in that I had Sunday coming and I had to have something prepared. And then there was pressure, I think, being a perfectionist to make it good. And it was a real testament to spirit, because I would often sit down on a Saturday night and try to get the music, you know, and I would feel this intense pressure to make it meaningful. And it seemed like Spirit would always come through with some incredible song, or somehow randomly put a song in my path during the week that I could include in the service. And it, it was again sort of like what Judah was saying earlier, that just trust that they're going to help me put it together. It's just me that was sort of stressing out about it. I think if I were to do it again, I would try to find, say, 4 or 5 churches that saw eye to eye and could get along, and then maybe, like, even if it was 4, we each did one service once a month, and that way you could really prepare and do a good job, and then also know that those people's needs will be met, but they would also see a greater variety of mediums and a greater variety of messages from whoever's speaking. And I think that would be a really cool way to do it. Now, the trick is, you know, to try to find 3 other groups that you could work with without allowing ego and competition to get in the way and that sort of thing. So we're always struggling with that. But I think it's possible.
It is hard, isn't it?
It is hard.
Yeah,
I wanted to get the support either. Do you, Judith? You don't always get the support either.
No. I know personally for me, where I am over here, I'm over in Ireland. So we only have 2 spiritual churches here, and because I trust spirit, I always trusted spirit, and I've always trusted their teachings. So they very much pushed me out of my comfort zone in that sense. But I learned to trust spirit over everyone. I learned very hard lessons, and I learned not all love and light is love and light. And I very much learned that, you know, if people don't understand how you work, then all of a sudden you can be labeled. And I did. The spirit taught me to be very thick-skinned and broad, and they actually said I needed to be very thick-skinned and broad-shouldered because I would find it hard, and I did with the physical, because people tried to label how I worked with spirit their way, but that's not how spirit was teaching me, and I'm very much love and light all the way. But it is hard to get the support, and it's hard to get past the ego, and it's not everybody understands, you know, unless you, and well, I would say probably most people in the spiritual movement will have experienced it at some stage, because I think it's something, I think it's a part of learning and growing in your spiritual journey. But I think, you know, like Alice does, I help Alice with the chat show, but Alice put all the hard work in. You know, Alice put in all the hard work with the different, you know, Spotify, Apple, you know, she did all that. She learned how to do all this. And she's gave so many people a platform. You know, even before I came along, and it was just Alice doing it on her own, you know, she's gave so many people a platform. And it's nice to get that right. You know, because spirit very much, spirit is very much ebb and flow, give and take. We just can't take, and that's one thing spirit always taught me: stay humble and stay grounded.
That's right. Stay humble and grateful.
I've never forgot that, and I think it's really important. You know, it is really important that we're all for the same purpose, and we're all wanting to help people find comfort and find peace. And I think we should all be doing it together.
We should all be pulling together. But you know, it's hard. It's hard when you that's what you want, and you want everyone pulling together, helping each other, supporting each other, being happy for anything that's happening good for that person. Do you know? Yeah. But it's part of humanity, isn't it? Do you know, in people's personalities and their makeup, some people will change, some people won't. And
yeah, you know, I very much think it's who learns and evolves in each life. What about the past lives, Albert? You touched on the past life.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in the past. Now, I met a person once, and they said to me, I know you. And I was like, I haven't met you. But I knew straight away. And they went, I definitely know you. And I was like, past life, don't believe in them. And I was like, well, that's where you know me, in the other life. But so what's your take on it, Albert?
Well, I guess I've just had too many experiences not to believe that that's true.
Yeah.
I know, like when I was starting out, this is sort of before, when I was just a hypnotherapist, when I was doing my training, I put that to my instructors, like, I don't know if I believe in past lives, but we were learning the therapy. And he said, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe, because if the people that you're working for believe in it, then that's going to be good for them. And if they don't believe in it, then it's not going to hurt them anyway. So it made me think. And he said, it's kind of like, try to think of it as comparable to like dream therapy. And so just find a way to make it work. Now, after that, every time I ever did it, though, the coincidences and the strength and the beauty and the healing that comes out of all of those, it just became so apparent to me that, well, there's something here. Obviously, it's helping people. And, that's sort of the bottom line of everything. I can tell you amazing stories of past life, different things that have happened, but unless you've sort of done that or experienced it, it's hard to imagine that at first. But for those people out there that are watching and listening and haven't tried a past life regression, try to find somebody that you really trust that knows how to help you with meditation and or with hypnosis, and then give it a try, because it's amazing. The thing that struck me about that is, so oftentimes I was finding that people would have a trauma in a past life that carried forward into this life. Yeah. And so the obvious ones are like, gee, my shoulder's killing me. I've been to every doctor in the book and nobody can help me. You do a past life regression, they got speared or something in a past life in their shoulder and it's been bugging them ever since. And then you heal it, you replace it with love and light, you move it forward, and it gets better. And that's sort of a physical ailment, but emotionally it's even more important, because people who are suffering PTSD or something else like that, they have these triggers that keep setting them off. So if you only deal with the trigger, you never get to the root problem. You need to get to the root problem, get rid of that, then the rest of them take care of themselves. But sometimes the root problem, sometimes it's in this life, you can do like a time-like regression to solve it. But sometimes it's in a past life, and sometimes it's almost like a DNA or a genetic pain that goes from, throughout your generations of your family, even, that you have to sort of heal.
It's amazing. It's amazing our lineage, and if we travel through back, or if you travel then through our lineage, what we discover that affects us in this life, how much it's affected us, and as you say, the healing, Like we can go back to different lives. And I don't know, for me, I always call it meditation therapy. I don't know why, because I believe we are all very much in parallel worlds. So I don't, it's just, we all have our ways. And I know that, like I know so many people that don't believe in it, and that's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But I also know people who have, and they've done different meditation sessions, and they've come back and went, well, would you believe that that's what's causing that now? I can see. And when you heal all those different cycles and lineages, it's amazing how much you release from this life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's amazing. And I people ask you how it works. I don't know how it works, but I do know it works. In not maybe not every case, but for big majority of it, really does make a difference. It's a beautiful, healing is another whole aspect of this. Like, the more you do mediumship, initially I'm sort of attracted to the novelty of talking to spirits, but really after a while you realize it's all healing in the end, really. We're probably more accurate to call ourselves healers than mediums, I would think.
Have you had one, Judith?
I've done quite a few myself, on myself, but I've also, I do a lot of it in my circles, and I would take them back again. I don't know why, I just think because I work very much spirit, talk about the quantum and the parallel worlds, and so I very much feel that we're traveling, but spirit always say to me, you are literally, you just blink, and they should always say to me, just blink and you're another frequency, just blink and you can take yourself to whatever dimensions you want.
And so can you do it on yourself?
Yeah, you can do it
on
yourself, yes.
I'll tell you why I ask that.
You can talk me to do one, Alice.
I have had the past couple of years when I'm sitting in meditation and sitting with spirit world, I am actually going to places centuries ago, and I'm seeing people that I don't know, you know, and I'm there, I'm right there, and I'm walking about and I'm talking to people, etc. It's they're not all the same, they're all different, you know.
They show you a lot of life, like spirits show me all different life forms that walk amongst us now.
One was in China. I was in China and one of them. And another one, it was Victorian times, you know. So it's never been quite, you know, it's never been, I can't actually sit and say, well, I know what my past life was because it was this, and this, because it's all you know.
But would you not pick, okay, so I picked one and I picked Ruth. And this was honestly, so when I met my partner, he introduced me to his friend, he's not here anymore, but when he was alive, and he first introduced me to them, and he said, hello, this is Judith, and he went, hello, Ruth. And I just thought he was joking. And so this was a running joke. And every time I seen, this went on for 10 years, and every time I seen them, it was like, hello, Ruth. And I'm going, why call me Ruth when it's Judith? And so this went on, and then I was doing a spiritual thing, and spirit came forward, and they said they were doing names, and everybody was getting names, and there was a couple of them was quite funny actually. So I'm very much a giggler, so that was me off. I was giggling, and then it came to me, and they went, "Do you know your name?" And I was like, "Don't do that! Tell me my name. I don't know my name." And they went, "You know your name." And I was like, I can't think, and there's nothing coming. And they went, "You do?" And I was like, "How do I know my name?" But they do, and they just don't remember. And they went, "No." And I was like, "Okay." So then I said, "Please, could you tell me? Because I can't think." And then they went, "Your name's Ruth, and it comes with a silver cross." And I was like, "How could you? Blow me down with a feather." So anyway, I started researching and I started going into meditation and working with spirit and asking spirit to take me back. And I started tracing the whole steps, and I discovered that I was Ruth from the Book of Ruth, from going back into, you know, the biblical. And that's when everything went ping and my feet couldn't move. And spirit, they said to me, "Now you've detected, you've done one basically, so you understand that whole life." So it was just, I didn't have a head. I can't explain it. I didn't have a head. It was just, I was spirit, which we know, but I was cemented to the ground. And so I completed that one. And now I'm working on one, and it took me ages to figure out that bit. And he kept saying to me, their name was John. And well, I know it's John. And I was like, okay. And they said, John Mountbatten. And I was like, John Mountbatten, okay. Oh, Mountbatten, that's the royal family. Oh, and then they went to Battenberg. And I was like, Battenberg's
nice. I do like Battenberg.
No, I don't like marzipan. And I was like, is it Mountbatten or is it Battenberg? Which one is it? Mountbatten, Battenberg. And because I was trying to focus purely on one surname at a time, I was confusing myself. But then I eventually realised that going back in history, the Mountbatten name was created. It didn't actually exist. The name was Battenberg, and then the royal family wanted to change it to bring it in more into the British line. And so they created the name Mountbatten. So now I understand. So that's what I'm on at the moment. But if you work with your guides and say, okay, this is the life I want to focus on, help and do it all. I'm just very much, I always have been, I'm like a dog with a bone. And like I like to know, I like to dig and keep going and going until I find out. But the things that we can discover is really amazing. If you look back, everybody's probably been what they would have called a witch at some stage. You know,
definitely. And I believe I just know I was hanged, you know. I know I was.
I escaped that. After the hanging finished.
Yeah, I do believe I was, because ever since I was a child, a very young child, I don't like anything round my neck. You know, I mean, I can wear a chain round my neck, but anything like a polo neck or anything that's quite high up, I always pull it. My mum would say, I don't know why I bother getting these tops, because you always pull it all out of shape, you know.
Yeah.
Because I just could never stand anything. And I also know that I also feel I was burnt at the stake, because I always get that smell of burning as well.
Well, you see, funny enough, I'm scared of fire. I've always, like, there was one year when when the girls were very small, and Santa's been, and they would have opened all their presents, and Santa wrapped everything they would go to, even the underwear Santa wrapped. But anyway, all the wrapping paper would have got taken off, and then would have burnt it in the fire. And I remember my partner, he was burning the all the Christmas paper, and I was like, the chimney's going to go on fire. You need to be careful. You really need to be. And it would really panic me that, you know, so maybe there's something there, but.
What about you? Have you got any experiences like that?
Well, yeah, for sure. Both my own personal ones, but, you know, other, as a practitioner, you run into unbelievable sort of things.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting sometimes is you'll run, let's say people are having real trouble in this life, let's say with poverty or something. And they're wondering why that is. And then you go back in the past life and they were extremely rich, but not very generous. And it's almost like they've chosen in this particular existence then to work on the thing, the other side, or get a feel for how to be more compassionate or more generous or whatever. So I always
find that. I'm not learning that now, Albert, because I'm not rich. I'm
I want to go back to the life where I was rich. Yeah.
That's it.
I guess the image I like to think of, like when I do a hypnotherapy session or a meditation where we're doing past life regression, is this sort of idea of you eventually get to a place where there's a long hall down in front of you and there's doors on either side, and you sort of walk down that hallway past all these previous past lives, and the one that's most important to you will have a light shining underneath it, and that's the one that will be most beneficial for you to visit today. And then they would go into that one, and then we sort of step in. And you know, much like what Judith was saying, there's the first part is really just trying to get your setting and your boundaries and where you are and who you are and what you look like, and all, there's a million different things you can do, but it is a really fascinating and really quite a healing experience.
I'm going to be controversial here a little bit. What's your thoughts on animals, dogs, cats, that are in our life and they give us unconditional love? Do you feel, or do you know, animals, do you feel that perhaps they were something from our past life, or that come into it? Because I'm just going to give you my opinion on it, okay?
Okay.
But I like to hear other people's opinions on it as well, okay? Because animals have been in my life, have really touched my soul, but I know that I've known them from a past life, you know? But I don't believe they were an animal in their past life, you know? I believe they were someone very important to me in my past life, but they've came to me and the only way that they could come to me in this life. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't disagree with you. I think that spirit can take many different forms. And so you may have a spirit, you know, that's very close to you, that's an animal in this existence, and it might be something different in a previous one. It's interesting, though. For example, I know that I do get visits from animals and spirit. Often I'll be, it usually happens to me early in the morning when I'm just sort of first waking up, whatever, but I'll have like our dog that we used to have, our family dog. And sometimes it's just as simple as you feel this, you'll see them or sense them rush up to you, lick you in the face and run off. And it's like, oh yeah, thanks. You know, that's great. And we didn't have any great long discussion or anything, but we're like, oh, I still love you. I still know you're there. I'm still here. I think it's possible. Like I do know in past life regressions that sometimes you'll meet similar people that are in your life now in the past life regression. So I've had it where I've gone into past life regression and I've been a child and my mother is actually my daughter in this existence. And then it's very interesting. So then afterwards you start to think about that. What's the dynamics? Why am I a parent in this particular existence and a child in the other one? And sometimes it really gives you an insight into that relationship that you have now and some of the different feelings that you have. So I think it's quite possible. I can't think of an example personally where I've come across an animal in one life that's been a person in another one. But, you know, I've been at this game long enough that nothing surprises me anymore. People will say to you, oh, you're not going to believe this. Let me tell you something. It's like, well, try me, you know.
Yeah, it's nice. So what have you an opinion on, like, you know, so we're kind of going outside the box again to do with, like, you know, connections. You know, we talk about the archangels and people, you know, then we talk about, you know, people from not this planet, different life forms, different planets, and people would go, you know, I don't really believe in that. But they forget our angels were beings of light, you know, how we dictate, put them on a card or a drawn is how we feel comfortable seeing them. But, you know, a lot of our spirits and guidance is they're not from this world. Have you ever done like a past life, but going back to like a starseed, going back to another life where it's led you to a different planet on the solar system or anything like that?
I haven't done a past life regression where that's happened, but certainly a different meditation where you're trying to open up to different existences that I have experienced. So I can't think of that in terms of a past life. Now, I'm not saying that it can't happen.
I took ones on, we went right back to them before they came into this world, and we went right back, and it took, they were all went to a different place, they all seen a different planet, they all, and the details that they were able to get was like, it was mind-blowing, it really was. I'm like you, I don't say really anything out because spirit very much is opening that window, opening them doors to show us so much more now, aren't they?
I think so, and I think it really depends on your own personal belief. So if you are really into angels, then you'll probably encounter an angel. If you're really into multidimensional being from a different existence or planet or whatever, that's probably what you might, you know, experience. I think that those spirits are probably something that we wouldn't recognize, except that they try to put it in some sort of perspective that we all understand. And so then I think that's what accounts for everybody's different views of what heaven looks like or what angels look like or ascended master. Like there's a million different names for them. In the end, it's really some sort of spirit or force that's helping and guiding us to a better existence. You know,
They're light language guide, but they come to me and they tell me their name's Adam, and I go, is your name really Adam? And they went, no, it's just easier for you to call me Adam.
They were showing
the light language.
Yeah, I know. Like when I met my first main spirit guide, it was some really long Latin name. I felt like he was sort of Roman or something,
yeah.
You know, and I could not get my head around it or remember it. And finally, it's like, just call me Randy, okay? Like, I was, I don't know, Randall something or other, but it's like, just call me Randy. And in the end, okay, that's what I relate to at this particular yeah. point. So now when I need my main spirit guide, I just call for Randy.
Yeah. I'm the same, Judith. I get with some of my guys, they'll give me names and I'm like, I'm not sure, you know, and then I'll hear a laugh, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I like really want you to know her name because you won't be able to pronounce it.
You know, I know them all. I very much, I came across once and I always tell this story and I think people understand more when they hear it. I am very much, spirit are very respectful of us and they give so unconditionally to us. And yes, they're learning the same as us, but they give so unconditionally. And I believe we should always be really respectful back, and it's that ebb and flow. And I always say to anyone that I'm ever in any of my circles, get to know your guides. Build that relationship, build that bond, because they are the best teachers you will ever have. You know, take the time, and rather than trying to jump ahead, take the time, spend it with your guides, spend quality time, hang out, go and see where they were, what they want to show you. Get that, really build that bond of trust. And I held it was an event one day, and I'd held this event, and there was a person come on and they were talking about, how they manifest and how they give messages. And I was going, oh, do you like the conference? I love the communication.
Oh, yeah. I love the conversation. Love it.
Yeah, I love that. And they said to me, I just ask what I want to know. And then I was going, but do you not take time to, get to know your guides and spend time with them and hang out? And they were like, they looked at me and I went, but do you not think it's nice to show spirit respect? You know, if they're doing it for us, surely we should be respectful enough to take the time for them. And they said, I really don't care who's giving me the message. I just want the message and I really don't care what people want. I near fell off my seat. And I just thought, I don't think that's right. Personally, that's just my opinion. I can't speak for other people. But I just think, yes, we all agreed we're coming here. We came here in the physical. They're still journeying with us. But at the same time, they don't have to be here. They don't have to sit and play the game. They could turn around at some stage and go, do you know what? I decided I'm not in your gang anymore. I'm off. I want to go somewhere else. But they don't. They really do give us that love and that support. And I think
that's because it's unconditional love. It's unconditional love.
But do you think a lot of that's missing in spiritualism? A lot of it can be quite cold rather than really spending time with spirit. It's not all about us, And I think a lot of spiritualism is missing that. And I'm probably going to be the worst in the world for saying that, but I have to be honest and say that, because when you really, really take the time and spend it with your spirit team, you're recreating and remembering and building that bond that you're going to trust them unconditionally. And should you want a name, they'll give you a name. I want a name for all my guides, and I chat away and call them by name. And even if it's not their name, I like to be able to refer to each one with a name.
Can I just say something though on this? Because for anybody who doesn't know who their guides are, I don't want them worrying about that. Okay, because
I didn't mean it in that sense.
Yeah, I know, but some people, and there's some people I do know who are very good mediums, and they will go up and they'll get good evidence and delivery and message. But afterwards, they would quite easily turn around and say, and they'll say even on the platform, well, I don't know where I get this from. I just get it. So I'm getting it, and I'm getting it from love that I'm feeling. So I'm sharing it to you. Maybe for those people, though, they can't, for their own sake, maybe maybe it's a fear thing that they don't want to know who's giving them the message. You know, maybe they've created that barrier or block there. They're happy to have the message. They're happy to share it. And they love doing what they're doing. And they're very good at doing what they're doing, you know. But I kind of hold heart here a little bit on, I don't judge who's got spirit guides, who's not got spirit guides. Because at the end of the day, as long as you're working with the love from spirit world and you're delivering
I'm not being judgmental, I'm not meaning that, so if anybody's took offense, I apologize. I don't mean it in that respect, but we're here to be open and honest, and I have
that's
to,
why I love our chat show.
Yeah. I can only speak for me. That's personally for me, to build that connection with spirit, it was powerful to go on each journey with each guide and really understand that guide and the history that goes with that guide. Personally for me, it was such an amazing journey, and it really helped me understand the strength and the connection between that guide and what all they could do for me, why they were helping me, but also how I could help them, because
that's right,
they're learning and evolving as we are. So it's not just about them helping us, it's about me understanding how can I help that guide and how can I help them in return and learn, help them what they were here to learn from. So I've always been consciously aware of
it works for you, and that's your connection with spirit world. My connection with spirit world is the same, you know. It works for me, you know. But what I'm trying to say is that there's, for other people it may not work that way, but they still might have that beautiful connection. But I know that I've had students come on and they have said to me, you know, I'm really worried because I'm getting all this information and I don't know where it's coming from and I don't know who my guides are, and they get into a real flap about it, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, just relax, enjoy this time. Yeah. What's your thoughts on this, Albert? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't disagree with anything that's been said. I think that, you know, for a lot of mediums, they that say they don't know where the message is coming from or who it is, and people somehow often feel like they're inferior or not as good because they don't do that. But I think it's more likely that their strengths are as a different clair. So if you happen to be clairaudient and you can hear names clearly, then that's great. But, you know, maybe your strength is clairsentience and then you really feel the emotions. So you may not be aware of the name, or the name may not be as important. People can tell who you're talking about by how they're feeling or some other, you know, evidence that you're going to give. So
if you ask them, they'll tell you, you know. Be that, I always say to everybody, be that nosy neighbor over the fence that wants to know what you had for dinner, you know, and ask, you know, anything you're not sure about, just ask them. But I always say to them, even if I tell you something, question it with your own spirit team. Mm-hmm. Always go back to your own spirit team.
So you think as well along the lines, Albert, of the clairsentience as well, because I agree with you on that. There is a lot of very good mediums who are clairsentient, you know, and they get lots of good information, but they don't really know. Well, they know who they're with. They know who they're bringing in from the spirit world, and they can give valid information with that. But they don't know perhaps maybe who the hierarchy or the guide is behind it, you know. So I agree. It can be, you know what, if we were all the same, it would be pretty boring, wouldn't it?
We weren't meant to be all being.
We're not meant to be the same. Do you know?
We are the same, but we're not the same, just if that makes sense. Yeah.
For those that are clairsentient, I think what you'll see if you watch a lot of mediumship is they may not have all the details and facts in the evidential part of the reading, but their message will be so much more in depth, likely, because they're going to associate with the feeling of that particular spirit. So they're going to be able to pass on. So, you know, I think whatever works for you, you have to go with that. So some people can give you dates and numbers and street addresses and things, and then they'll just go, oh, and the message is they love you. And then they'll move on. And then the next person will say, well, I don't really know, but I feel this, or I sense this, that this person was. And then eventually you'll get to the message and they'll be like, oh, they want to tell you so much they love you because of this and that, and not to feel guilty. And it'll go on. So the message part will be twice as long as the evidence.
Albert, we can bring that into a circle, though, that you're opening up all of those in a circle.
Oh, yeah, but for sure. Sometimes it depends on the spirit that's coming through, too. So, you know, I'll often have somebody get very frustrated when they're dealing with a spirit that isn't giving them anything. And they'll go, I'm not saying much. You're not going anything. It's almost like, okay, well, that'll tell you something about their personality. Then give your evidence. They were quiet. They didn't really like to share. They didn't really want to do that. They didn't want to do that, because they're not going to be that much different in spirit than they were in the real world. So if, you know, and as a medium, I'm not that much different than I am in the real world. So if I'm terrible with names, probably not getting names in my readings is going to be the highlight of my mediumship. Now, it may happen and it may or not, but if your skill is something else, then you just go with whatever your skill is, because in the end, it's still the message that comes through and the help that you're doing.
Yeah. But believing yourself, you can do more. You can do more with spirit.
Well, yeah, I think I think it's true. I think that, you know, depending on the situation, different clairs can be used. But also, I found in my own development that, you know, let's say I was really strong with clairvoyance and clairsentience, but I very seldom got any kind of audible message. But then suddenly it happens, you know, and it just starts to happen and it just starts to grow. So I think what you'd want to avoid is sort of any negative thoughts that are going to be limiting. In fact, I would recommend to anyone as a medium, don't let anyone limit you in terms of what you can do. If they say, oh, you can't give a message with your eyes closed, or you can't do it with your eye, you have to have your eyes open. Mm-hmm. Maybe that works for them, but maybe for you, it's different.
Be yourself. If,
you
know,
right.
You just go with what you got.
Right. Well, before we come to a close, anyone who would like to get in touch with yourself, it is, I'm just looking, ALFROM. No, what's
it? Al from Canada.
Canada@gmail.com. So, but to spell it, it would be ALFROM Canada@gmail.com. So from Canada@gmail.com. Anybody who would like to get in touch, then please do. You know, what's coming up? Is anything coming up before we come to the end now? And anything you want to share with us?
I just sort of feel like I'm transitioning from, I really focused a whole lot on preparing this proposal for Hay House, and I'm just sort of trying to get back into developing, you know, helping people online with the messages from heaven. So if you look me up on Facebook, it's just Albert Olson, and you can see my site there and the different things that I post. And I think my website is www.albertolson.com. So if you're actually looking for signs or messages like the cards I showed earlier, you can go there and you can get them on the website for free. So you can just go.
And do you do development circles, Albert, for anybody that maybe want to? Do you have anything that got actively running?
Just starting up again. So I'm going to actually do it tomorrow at 11 o'clock here. So that would be 7 o'clock at your time.
Are you 6 hours behind?
So what time did you start at 8 p.m. there? It was 1 here. So 7. So it would be 6 o'clock, I guess, your time.
Yeah. Great. Yeah,
so 2 hours earlier than this particular session anyway. So we're just going to start getting back into it. I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like yet. Well, it's one of those trust spirit things tomorrow.
And is that open to any like ability, any level, somebody that's just starting?
Yeah, sure. Any level, any ability. I think tomorrow I'm going to try to really work with music in terms of giving messages through lyrics and that sort of thing. So that's sort of focus tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. So also your book as well. So you are an author, and the book you have is Mediumship from beginner to professional, and you can buy that on Amazon. Is that correct?
Yep, you sure can. So I think I have it on here for the UK folks.
Yeah, like I had a little look at it, and oh, cool. Oh,
there it is. That's on the Amazon UK site. Mastering Leadership from Beginner to Professional.
Excellent. Yeah, I have had a look at it. Yeah. So yeah, I haven't purchased it yet, but I was reading the introduction of it, and it looked very interesting. So I think that would be a great book for people to read. Just before we go as well, I will be demonstrating this Thursday on Fulham Spiritualist Church in London, but not personally, online, at 7:30 if anybody wants to join. So that would be good. Okay.
And guys, before we go, I'm on TikTok. Medium one month, and I'll be on TikTok hopefully Friday, definitely Friday night, but maybe tomorrow, but definitely Friday night. You'll catch me on TikTok.
So there you are. So we're going to all be very busy. And I would like to thank, someone's just asked there before we leave, what was the name of Albert's Oracle cards?
It's Signs for Spirit at makeplaincards.com.
Okay. Right. Okay, that's great. So, so that's us. So I would like to just say thank you to being on the show tonight, Albert. It's been great having this chat, and hopefully we'll catch up again soon at some point.
Yes, it's been lovely to meet you, Albert.
It's been lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much. So lovely to meet you. Please, anybody out there listening, if I can help you in any way, just give me an email. I'll do the best I can.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so thanks for also the listeners, those who have been listening, and those who have been on putting some comments on tonight's show. This will be also going live on Thursday, 8:00. It will be going on to Spotify podcast, and it will be Spark of Light Spiritual Chat Show. And also it's on YouTube. Please, if you could, subscribe to the YouTube channel and podcast.
Yes, hit the like button. The one upwards, not the one down, the one upwards.
It's free. Yeah. So if you can, it would be great. It just helps us as well get up the rank a little bit more. So it would be very much appreciated.
Share the knowledge.
Yeah, I know. Love, care, and share.
Absolutely. Caring is sharing.
Yeah.
Sharing is caring, one of the way.
Okay. Everybody. Jeez, honestly, woman.
Music.
She can talk a lot, can Judith, but never mind. It's good. It's better than being too quiet, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so good night, and stay safe and look after each other.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.